Next Sunday at 2 o'clock, they'll go back and be able to minister and folks that need help. Amen. Encouragement. I think I have learned something in the past few months that I think I knew before, but I don't think I knew it before, so I have been pondering this greatly. Starting something new takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of unfulfilled promises by people and such like things. And you know, if you were doing this for self or you was doing it for praise or whatever, you'd just get real discouraged and quit. But you know what makes the difference in what you do something for is if you do it for the Lord. Amen. I had a preacher that called me and said, "Hey," I said, "tell me a little bit about your college ministry." And I said, "It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work." Amen. I mean, I'm at the college once or twice a week, contacting these kids and all the stuff that our church does. I said, "It takes a lot of work." I said, "Now I know what a missionary's going out and starting a new work." Amen. It takes a lot of time and effort. I want you to pray over the next month through the end of November with me. I really think I have just been troubled at my faith, that my faith may not be great faith, and I want to have great faith. Amen. I don't want to finish out the rest of my life with no faith or little faith, but I want to have great faith. And I've asked God to do something to strengthen and to enlarge, stretch my faith. And I believe the other day the Lord opened the door to me, opened my eyes to see something that we could do as a church and here and abroad. And so I'm excited about it. Been praying a lot about it, asking God for wisdom and direction and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want you to take your Bibles tonight to James chapter 1. And Lord willing, and with His help, I want to preach to you a little bit tonight on real religion. Now, we try to avoid the word religion today. We try to avoid that. But it is a Bible term. And we ought not to be ashamed of real religion. Amen. I like that song, "I Got That Old Time Religion." Amen. I'm not much on this new time religion. I was talking to a fellow this week, and he said, "Well, Brother Tim," he said, I'm just going to tell you. He said, "It's new music." And I thought, well, praise the Lord if that's what you want. Amen. It's between you and the Lord. But I like that old time religion. I like that old time singing. I like these hymns. I like some of the songs, quartets, and others sing, but I just like the old time religion. I like old fashioned preaching. I love to get on YouTube. One of the blessings of YouTube is listening to old saints of God preached. And I was listening before church to Mays Jackson preach. And man, he is a I listened to his introduction. It takes him 10, 15 minutes to get into it, but I got the introduction in. And I've loved to listen to George W. Truett. Probably my favorite preacher of the past is George W. Truett. And I love to listen to him preach, and I've read his books. I've listened to Vance Havner. Man, Vance Havner is such a preacher. Whenever Isaac or Isaiah, whichever one, got called to preach, I said, "You need to YouTube Vance Havner, his life story." Vance Havner started preaching at 13 and started pastoring at 15. And great man of God. And so I'm grateful tonight to be raised in church around some old-time preachers. They wouldn't fit much today because of the condition of our churches. They would, some of the hard preaching I've heard, and some of you that are my age and older have heard, it'd shock the socks off of most people today. Amen. I mean, they'd skin the hide off of you, salt you down, cook you up and skin you again and make you enjoy it. Amen? It was just different. But I believe today, if we're ever to regain anything of respect or being set apart in our churches, we're going to have to look at our religion. And I want you to read with me James chapter 1. You look at verse 26. I'll read aloud. You follow along silently. If any man that is in the Sweet Springs Baptist Church tonight, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's pray and ask God to help us, and let's open our hearts tonight and let the Holy Spirit search us and see if we have real religion tonight. Amen. Real religion. Father, as I have thought and meditated and tried to write down some notes, all will be vain unless the Spirit of God comes upon us and anoints us with the Holy Ghost and power tonight to preach your word in power. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with demonstration of words, but in power and in the Spirit. Father, tonight we need the Holy Spirit. Lord, all we'll say is words tonight if the Holy Spirit doesn't come and anoint us. May that heavenly coal touch our tongue and cleanse us of iniquity. Father, tonight would you speak to every heart. May the same Holy Spirit who anoints us search us. As David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Search us, God, and see if we have real religion or if we're just fooling ourselves. And I pray, Lord, you'll bring about conviction in Jesus' name, and you'll bring about conversion in Jesus' name, and you'll bring about a change in each of us. In Christ we ask, amen. I think we would all agree tonight that the world is filled with religion. We have Baptists, Catholics, Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Church of God Holiness, Church of Christ. We have Assemblies of Gods. We have Islam. We have Pentecostals. We have Buddhist, we have Hindus, we have those who worship nothing, which is a religion of their own, we have Satanists, we have religion to no end in America. We have religion that has filled our world, but might I say, is it real? Is it real? Now, we're not in a competition with religion, but we are in a battle against evil. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not careful, we'll live our whole life in the pretense of religion. I would hate to live my whole life, and I'd hate for you to live your whole life pretending to be religious when you're not. I just don't want, Paul said it like this, I am willing to spend and be spent. I am willing to give it all I got for the cause of Christ. All religion is tested by the same test. There's not a test for Catholics. There's not a test for Baptist. There's not a test for religions of the Eastern culture. There's only one test for religion, and I hold it here in my hand. It is the Bible. The Bible is not only the test of the religion organization, but the saint, him or herself. The Greek word here signifies religion in its external respect. What we see. It reminds us and it explains to us that religion is not something that's simply practiced in the heart, but is something that is practiced out here. I've heard people say this, and this is my standard reply. People say this, they'll say, well, you know, preacher, I don't go to organized religion. Well, then you're missing out on what Jesus had, because he had organized religion. But I like to go out and sit amongst the trees, and that's how I worship God. I quickly respond to them by saying, no, you are worshiping the creature and not the creator. God designated a place to worship him. And that is not out in the woods, but in a particular place amongst God's people. Religion is used three times in these verses. Look here in verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, this man's religion and pure religion in verse 27. And then it's used in Acts chapter 26 and verse 5. And then it's used in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Now, since today, since we're going to talk about religion, we better know that God has a test to test our religion, and it's in verse number 26. And I want us to go through the test today. Now, I never was a very good test taker because I was not a good student leading up to the test. Had I been a better student leading up to the test, I would have been a better test taker. And I'm afraid today in our churches, we have a lot of people that are going to fail the test of religion. Simply put, they are going to fail the test of religion. They are going to fail it not because the test is too hard, but because leading up to the test, they have not prepared for it. Now, not everybody, and I don't know every tree, but if I'm out in the woods, I can usually tell what a tree is. I don't have to look at its fruit. I can just tell you what it is. Whenever I was growing up, my dad was in the woods. I was in the woods. I'd ask my dad, what's that tree? He'd say, that's a white oak tree. That's a bur oak. That's a hickory tree. That's a pignut tree. That's a this, that, and the other tree. So that's how I learned trees. So I go out in the woods and I just look at trees and say, that's this, that, and the other. But you know, if somebody pulled up some roots of some trees and said, now identify that tree, I'd have a hard time identifying it by the roots. And maybe some of you in this room would have a hard time identifying a tree by just looking at a tree or even by its leaves. But nobody have a problem identifying a tree by what it bears, by the fruit. See, I may not be able to tell the difference between an apple tree and a pear tree when they're sitting there, but you get some fruit on them and I'm smart enough to figure it out. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to take your Bibles just quickly to Matthew chapter 7, the famous Sermon on the Mount, of which I believe all Scripture in the New Testament has its beginnings in, as I've said that at least one other time. And I'm here to tell you today that you and I need to be humble enough to examine ourselves and to allow the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. So I think that's a good warning, amen, something good we ought to do. Examine yourselves and see if you're in the faith. Matthew chapter 7, I want to read these verses, and I just want you to listen carefully. Chapter 7, verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? No. Or figs of thistles? No. All right. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 20, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, I want you to go back to James. I want to read the verse again. And I want you to seriously, now if you're a Christian tonight, you ought to seriously ask God to search your heart while I read this verse. Now the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, you can't explain it any other way than the way it's written. So tonight, I want to give you two thoughts here tonight under these headings. The universal test. In verse 26, if any man. So this is a universal test. It's a test for men. It's a test for women. It's a test for old folks. It's a test for young folks. It's a test for Baptists. It's a test for anybody else. It is the universal test. Now notice what he says. If any man among you, notice their place. It's this crowd right here we're talking about. If any man in this group, if any person, if any man, woman, boy, or girl sitting here tonight, if anybody claims to be a Christian, if anybody claims to be a Christian and does not bridle this mouth, God said, you've deceived yourself. Now, I talked a little bit about that this morning in gossip and tale-bearing and, you know, those types of things, which, you know, I know none of us this morning were like that, but we probably ran into somebody this week that may have been. But you'd be surprised how many of God's people have a hard time keeping their trap shut. Not being a blabbermouth. Amen? You know what I'm saying? We just have a tendency to talk more than we ought to. In fact, I believe the command was, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. But sometimes we have this tendency, so this is a universal test, if any man among you, among the place. Now, look in James, in Jude. In Jude chapter 1, because that's the only one there is. If you get to Jude chapter 2, would you please stand and read that? We would love to hear Jude chapter 2. Look at Jude chapter 1 and verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Do you know sometimes the church has those who creep in? Unaware, but eventually their fruit reveals their heart. The Bible says, out of the heart the mouth speaketh. Look over in Galatians chapter 2 for just a minute. Galatians chapter 2. And the great apostle Paul, given a testimony of his return trip, of his testimony of his life, and he's back at Jerusalem. And the Bible says in Galatians 2 and verse 4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now Paul said, listen, I face these people who came in, and what he's saying is after he left, there were those who came to Antioch and said, listen, you not only have to be saved, but also to be saved, you have to be circumcised. We have gone away from the circumcision part, and we have churches that add to it baptism. We have churches that add to it all sorts of things to be saved. But the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It is an act of the heart. So it is any man among you. So tonight, we're talking about those that are here. Young people, old people, middle-aged people. What is your religion tonight? Do you have a religion? So well, I'm Baptist. Well, that's good. Amen? That's what I am. I'm Baptist. I don't apologize for it. I don't make excuses for it. I'm proud to be a Baptist tonight. Amen? And my Baptist beliefs is what I live by. My Baptist beliefs are grounded in the Bible. I believe we can trace our heritage all the way back to the apostles, of which no other group can do. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to, but let me go on to say this. If I'm a Baptist, and you're a Baptist, and we're all Baptists here tonight, amen, and we're all in the same thing, then there ought to be some marks about us that distinguishes us as Baptist. But now if I'm going to say I'm religious, then there ought to be some marks about me that distinguish me, Bible marks that distinguish me as being religious. See, if I'm a Baptist, I believe in salvation by grace through faith. I believe in that. So that's what I preach. That's a mark. I believe in immersion of this person in baptism after they get saved, because that's the way the Bible teaches it. Not as an accompaniment to salvation, not as a part of salvation, but as a token or an evidence of salvation. That's why I'm a Baptist. As a Baptist, I believe in the Lord's Supper. I believe there's two ordinances given to the church. I believe the Lord's Supper is an ordinance given to the church. I believe it is given to the church. I don't believe anybody else has a right to distribute or to serve communion or the Lord's Supper except the local New Testament church. I'm a Baptist. I believe the other ordinance given to the church is baptism. Those are the only two ordinances that we have as a church. I believe preaching is passed down in the style and the manner in which many of us have been accustomed to down through the generations of time. There have been many non-Baptist churches of years ago who were faithful to preach the Word of God just as we are. But boy, they're getting fewer and fewer in our day and age. And these things make me a Baptist. A Baptist distinctive, sometimes we call them. But if I'm going to say I'm religious, then these Baptist distinctives come out of the Bible. I ought to have them rooted and grounded in the Bible. And if I'm going to be religious, then I ought to have my religion based on the Bible. And so God tells us, so if any man among you, so if you're going to claim to be religious tonight, then you better have a Bible religion. Number two here, the universal test is any man among you, and if any man seem to be religious. That word seem means to think or to suppose. They appear. There's a lot of people that seem to be religious. They can sing the hymns. Whenever I was growing up and got in church, I noticed my pastor was always singing the hymns without the hymn book. I asked him, I said, how'd you do that? He said, well, that's all I've ever sung. I thought, well, I can memorize. So I started memorizing hymns. So most of the hymns that we sing, few of them I can't, but most of them, once they start, I know how to sing them. I don't have to use a book. I've practiced and practiced and practiced enough. But just because I know the hymns does not mean that my religion is right. There are people today that come to church faithfully Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival nights, and such like things, but that doesn't mean their religion is real. They seem, it appears, but that's all that it is. If any man seems to be religious, appears to be religious. So not only can you test yourself, but you can test everybody else. So the third thought is, if any man bridleth not his tongue. Now here's a Christian, an appearing Christian, a seemingly Christian. And they cannot control their mouth. The word bridle You all know what a bridle is. Put a bridle in the horse's mouths, and we control the horse most of the time with the bridle. The word bridle has the idea of it has the idea of restraint, controlling power. Now, your tongue reveals something very, very important about you. It reveals something important about me. Take your Bibles again to Matthew chapter 12. Not the Sermon on the Mount, but a teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. In my Bible, it's in red. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34 and 35. The Bible says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth that good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Jesus said, out of the heart comes all these things, adultery, fornication, and such like. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so your tongue simply reveals what kind of heart you have. That's all that it does. It doesn't make your heart evil or good. It simply reveals that your heart is evil or good. We read this morning over in James chapter 3 where a fountain doesn't bring forth good water and salt water. And the Bible says we shouldn't be speaking blessing God with one tongue, and out of the other tongue be cursing men. So tonight, the test is universal. It's any man among us. Now, if any of you guys seem religious, if anybody seems religious, and bridles not his tongue, this is the profanity. And I'm not talking about cussing, I'm just about profanity of the world. Disregard for spiritual things. This man is being tested today. Now look at the undenying truth, number two. Look at it, verse 26. We have a universal test. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, so that's the test. The truth, the undenying truth is found here, but deceives his own heart. And this man's religion is vain. Okay? So the truth is this. There's two things recorded here about religious people who are not what they appear to be. The first thing is their own deception. Now, deception is a terrible thing. The word deception means to be led astray of his own person, of his own thoughts. And so there's a Christian sitting here at the church tonight, and that's who we're talking about. Among us, and this person never bridles their tongue. Now that's the test. I wish maybe the Lord had thrown in there something easier. Showed up at church every Sunday. That'd been a little easier test. Or possibly give a tithe or an offering occasionally. Or, you know, something easier. But God determines real religion based on our control of our tongue. And so there's Christians who come to church week after week after week of all kinds of denominations. And they go through the ceremony of the church, the singing, the giving, they listen to the preaching, and I'm telling you right out that door, you couldn't tell them a bit of difference in the way they talk. I'm not talking cussing. I'm talking about what they talk about. It's not about cussing. It's about what they talk about. Let me back up. What they don't talk about too. They never talk about the Lord. They never witness. They never talk about Christ. They never talk about the good things of God. Boy, they're talking bad about this. They're talking bad about that. Their mind's set on the things of the world. Their affections are there, and they're talking about that. They're, man, I'll tell you what, come tomorrow morning at the water cooler banter, as they call it. Boy, I'll tell you, they'll talk about the football scores, and Christians that attended church will know more about football and the World Series in the next few weeks, and we'll talk more about that and never mention God. So see, it ain't always what you talk about. Sometimes reveals what you don't talk about. He deceives himself. Doesn't bridle his tongue. He deceives his own heart. He is the worst of people because he deceived himself. He's led himself astray. He's gone to church. He's gone through the tithes, the offerings, the baptisms. He's gone through the Lord's Supper. He's gone through the revival meetings and sits there, or she sits there week after week after week after week after week, and flaps and talks and all these other things. And all the while saying, I must be a great Christian. And God said, you have deceived yourself because you're not. The second thing is not only his deception, but his emptiness. He deceives his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Let me read what that word vain means. I looked it up so I would read it and say it. And little did I know. And there's so many people that live that have come to our church and other churches like ours and others, and this is what it means. The word empty means profitless or idle. To no purpose. Here's the way I would say it if I was saying it. It wouldn't make a difference if they came here or they went somewhere else or they never went anywhere. They still would be the same person. That's what that means. Religion has no purpose in their life. It doesn't change them. It doesn't cause them to do the things God says to do. I don't say this very often, but I can usually tell whenever somebody's in a kind of a messed up deal and they miss church and they kind of get themselves into spiritual things. And sometimes I'll ask people this. I'll say, now listen, if you didn't come Sunday, or you didn't come this Sunday, or you didn't go next Sunday, or whatever, would you miss anything in your life? And most folks are just honest and say, no. Now, you listen, whenever people say that, you know what's happening? They're done messed up with God. But you know, there's a ton of people that go to church every Sunday, and it really don't have an effect on them. You know why? Because come Monday, they're the same person they was Saturday. You see, religion, now I guess maybe because I'm the preacher, maybe, I don't know. Most of my conversation is around religion. Not all of it, but most of it. Maybe because I'm the preacher, I don't know. But I would hope to think that even if I wasn't the preacher, I'd still have an interest in religious things. And I'd be talking to people about religious things. But I don't think God put in here, this is just for the preacher. I think he said, if any man, maybe a deacon's wife, a Sunday school teacher, possibly an Awana worker, possibly some of you young people, some of you that don't hold an office in the church. I think it means everybody. This is the test. Wouldn't it be sad to live your whole life being religious and at the end of your life it count for nothing? You say, well, preacher, how am I supposed to know? Well, we don't have time tonight, but next week we're going to go over verse 27. Pure religion. You want real religion from God? You get off of thinking about you, and you go out and visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and you keep yourself unspotted from the world. So here's the test. If you don't bridle your tongue, your religion, what you profess you believe, has absolutely no influence on your life. Does not make a difference if you were here or not, because you would be the same person. I would hope to think that if I wasn't here, I'd be missing something. I'd hope to think I was missing something. Religion of our world. Folks, we've got all kinds of religions today. They've gathered all through this, through today, in their shrines and in their buildings, but they never do anything to change them. They went in, they did their little ceremony thing, and they left the same person. And I fear that many times I've been the same way. That my religion was a whole lot of talk and very, very little action. I've prayed, God help me. If I'm going to continue on in the ministry, and if I'm going to continue on in the Christian life, then God, I want it to be real. Amen? I want it to be real. I made a statement a few weeks ago that the ministry ought to be identified by our love for other people. And boy, I'll tell you what, you have to really work at loving other people. You sure do. So, how'd you fare out on the test? You pass? See, there's no A, B, C, D, E, or F. There is only pass or fail. Did you pass? We could have everybody come up here, and you have to give your report card tonight. Tell us if you passed or if you failed. But we won't. But in your heart tonight, you know. Did you pass? What have you done in religion to let others know that you're a lover of God? What have you done? Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, to the best of my ability, tried to convey the thought to everyone's heart that's here tonight. There might be somebody among us who seems to be very religious. But they really, really, really know in their heart that they have a hard time controlling their tongue. And they're always using their tongue for evil and not for good. They have never one time witnessed of the grace and the goodness of God. Oh, they've sang the songs, they've been to all the religious meetings of all kinds, but they've never gone out into the world and met the needy of heart and tried to speak a word of comfort to them. They've never gone the extra mile. Their religion has always been about them. And you said it has absolutely no purpose in them. Now, Lord, I don't know. Everybody here tonight claims to be saved, so I assume they are. But, Lord, there may be one among us who's crept in unawares, but they haven't crept in unaware to your radar. And Lord, probably tonight you've been speaking to them about their mouth, about their lying, about their words. Lord, tonight, would you just help them to humble their heart and get right In Jesus I pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Miss Rachel's playing the hymn of invitation. I don't know, maybe you ought to come tonight to the altar if you're a Christian. If God spoke to your heart, and well, you ought to come if He spoke to your heart.